Welcome. Good morning. Praise the Lord. I get to share God's word with you. Audacious Identity, the series, right? For you to get to know who you truly are. Well, my sermon title is Bold Heirs. Bold Heirs, right? You know, inheritance can cause a lot of drama in families, right? You know this, right? Some families fight over inheritance, but my kids are not going to have to worry. Because I ain't leaving them anything. My kids in the front. Oh, I'm glad you're laughing. Now, I am going to leave them some sermon notes to kind of like still have the last word, if you know what I mean, right? Yeah, I'm terrible. But did you know if you were born in Christ, if you're a Christian, you are an heir, right? So let's look at that in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 17. Now, if we are children, right? That means Christians. Then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Church, that means that you're not forgotten. It means you're not abandoned. It means you're in a family, that you're an heir to a king. To a God. That's amazing. Amen. To take that title, do you realize, do you grasp what that means? To be heirs of God? Man, I hope today the message will show you exactly what that means to be an heir of God. Because God gives us something greater than money and property. He gives us purpose. He gives us an eternal life. There are so many blessings that God gives us because we are his heir. So that's what I'm hoping for today. You know, that's what this series is all about, the audacious identity, is to know who you truly are. And I hope today that you realize that you are bold heirs, children of God. That's my hope today. So let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your purpose and for your inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. Open our hearts today to your word. Help us find a life that's audaciously serving you, Lord. That's what we hope. We want to have bold faith and confidence in your love and strengthened by you, Lord. That's what we want. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. All right. So my first truth I want you to learn as an heir is heirs follow wholeheartedly. Heirs follow wholeheartedly. So before we get into it, we're going to go into Joshua the 14th chapter. So you can start turning there now. Joshua the 14th chapter. Now, we're going to bypass Joshua chapter 11, 12, and 13 because those chapters are about their battles and their victories. Now, I'm encouraging you to go back when you get a chance and read all those chapters, right? We're just not addressing it here because it's about all the battles that they've done and the cities that they conquered. So where we last left off, when we go to Joshua, the 14th chapter, verse 6 and 9, we're going to look at. This is the point where we're going to introduce a character named Caleb. Caleb is going to be introduced here. Now, this is a time where they win most battles. They still have some battles to come in the following chapters, but they win most battles. And now they're starting to divide the land. For inheritance. They started to divide the land. And now this character called Caleb, which you're probably familiar with, he boldly comes over to Joshua and he starts to say, hey, I have an inheritance. I want that inheritance. I want to claim that inheritance. So that's where we're at. Now, Caleb is an interesting character. He really, really excites me. And let me explain. First of all, his name, Caleb, has two meanings. Now, listen to this. Look at the coincidences. His name means wholeheartedly, faithful. And the other name means dog, but not like your sloppy little dog that you want to kick, not like that. We're talking about, I'm an animal lover, don't worry. I mean, right? We're talking about those loyal dogs, the tenacious dogs, the ones that are faithful, they'll protect you. That's the term. So Caleb, again, wholehearted, That's what it means, and also dog in that sense, a faithful animal in that sense. Not that he's an animal, but you understand what I mean. So let's read, right? He approaches Joshua, and let's just read this together, right? So now the people of Judah approach Joshua at Gilgad, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about me and you. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report regarding my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" Right? So the Bible, right off the bat, is telling you who Caleb is, right? He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And we even read that in Numbers, the 14th chapter. Even back then, they also talked about Caleb, saying that he loved the Lord and followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Right? So what does this mean? It's not half-heartedly, right? Half-heartedly is I'll follow you until things get a little rough. Right? Wholeheartedly is I'll follow you no matter what, no matter how long. And right? And Caleb has been very faithful. Think about it. He's been waiting 45 years for the promise that God made to him 45 years ago. So that's what we're looking at. So Caleb's, why does he have wholehearted loyalty? Well, it's due to Caleb's love and trust of God. That's what it is. That's why he has wholehearted loyalty. It's due to his love and trust. And we know this because God has been talking about this long time ago. Let's look at Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 5. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 5. And this is going to sound familiar to many of you. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Now, you're probably listening to that and say, "Oh, yeah, Jesus said that too." Yeah, Jesus reaffirms this in the New Testament in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37. Now, remember when Jesus was confronted and they asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus literally said, "This is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." All of it. So, church, our understanding from listening to these verses, that wholehearted faith means that God doesn't just have a place in your life. He has the throne in your life. Did you hear that? Wholeheartedness, wholehearted faith means that God doesn't just have a place somewhere in your life. No, he has the throne, that he is King, Lord, God. That is who he is. That's wholehearted loyalty. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't know. Do I have wholehearted loyalty? I don't know. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Well, let me show you some of the things that I found in the Bible that can prevent you or hinder you from having wholehearted loyalty. So now I'm not going to break these down in great details because this would take hours. But I'm going to read through them for you. So fear and doubt can do that, right? Worldly distractions, compromise and divided loyalties. If you have divided loyalties, that'll do it. Unconfessed sins, spiritual laziness or apathy, you don't care. Pride and self-reliance, disappointments or discouragement, and of course, negative influences. Now, I want to say, think about this, take a snapshot of this, think about in your life the times where you were kind of like having that half-hearted loyalty to God. It was probably due to one of these or multiples. right? We can experience at the same times multiples of these. Now, again, according to scriptures, these are the main reasons people will struggle with wholehearted devotion. Now, I do want to say the great thing is when you have wholehearted devotions, God blesses us. There's a lot of blessings. And I'm not going to address all the blessings because, again, that would be several sermons. But there are three that you'll notice in Caleb's life in today's message. So God's favor and promise is fulfilled. So let me tell you, you have wholehearted devotion to God. Guess what? As Caleb, remember, since he was wholeheartedly devoted to God, he got his inheritance, Hebron, the land, Hebron. Right? Peace and confidence in God. So when you have wholehearted loyalty, right, you're going to have peace and confidence in God, because when you love God to that point, you trust him. When you trust God, you're not worried when negative things happen in your life. And peace is because when you're loyal to God, when you're not dividing your loyalty between God and your job or other issues, other things, entertainment, right, that's when that wholeheartedness comes out. We get peace in that, because when you divide, think about it like this: if you're married and you have a significant other, but you're unfaithful to them, you can't have loyalty. That's going to bring problems. You're not going to have peace in that relationship, correct? Because you can't split your loyalties. It will always counter peace. And the last one is spiritual strength and endurance. We know that. You're going to read that in Caleb. He got spiritual strength. I mean, the guy's 85 years old, man, and he got this spiritual strength that's amazing. Endurance, he's willing to wait. He was waiting 45 years for his promised inheritance, right? And this is why, because Caleb understood that our faith isn't about the calendar. It's about God's character. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? Our faith, the wholehearted faith, it isn't about the calendar, about time, about what's happening. It's about the character of God. Amen. And when we understand that, we can live wholeheartedly despite the crazy things that happen in our lives. But because we understand who God truly is. Now, I'm going to share with you, this endurance thing. I'm going to share with you a personal story. I always share personal stories, as you all know. So I love bread. I love all kinds of bread. I love French bread, Italian bread, sliced bread, any bread, sourdough, any bread. Put it, I love bread, right? And my wife knows that. She's awesome. So she bought me a bread machine, right? And Michelle, every week, Michelle would make hot, delicious, fresh bread. Yeah, look at that. Right? Oh, man. You know the bread when it comes right out of that oven and you just slap some butter on it and it's melting right there. Oh, heaven. Right? And so one day I come home looking forward to my hot, fresh bread. I come home from work and I was horrified. The bread machine was on top of the refrigerator. Now, let me explain. Every appliance that goes on top of a refrigerator is a dead appliance, never to be used again. That's the graveyard for appliances. So I said to Michelle, what happened? And Michelle said, the ingredients are very hard to find, maybe later, right? Now, I do want to say this, I'm diabetic. I really am. She loves me. She doesn't want me to eat a lot of bread. It's not really healthy for me. But think about this, church. This is what some of us do. Some Christians do. We take God's promises and we put them on a shelf somewhere. Because I got to deal with all this. And we say, maybe later. Right? I can't give you wholehearted devotion today, God. You know what? Because I got to focus on all these other things. I got to focus on my job. I got to focus on all these other things that we have. You know what? But maybe later. Maybe later, God. We have to be careful with that, brothers and sisters. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 7, we're reminded, for we live by faith, not by sight. So why do I bring this out? Because lots of us we watch all these things happening in our lives and we lose focus of what's truly important. God is truly important. So remember, heirs, we don't live by what we see. We live by what God has spoken. Did you hear that? Christian, we don't live by what we see. We live by what God has spoken.
because His word is true. And sometimes the things we see could be quite deceiving. It could be quite deceiving. So again, wholehearted faith, we understand this. So here's my challenge. I always have a challenge for you, a challenge question. Are you following God fully or only when it's easy? Or only when it's easy? Here's a takeaway for this. I always have takeaways for all of you on each point. Wholehearted faith doesn't wait for perfect conditions. No, it trusts a perfect God. Did you hear that? Right? Don't wait for perfect condition. It ain't gonna happen. Right? But we have a perfect God. And that you can trust. Amen? So when we follow wholeheartedly, guess what? That gives us purpose. And that's the next point that I have. Heirs live with purpose. You have a purpose. If you are an heir of Christ, you have purpose. And that's what we're going to talk about. So let's go to Joshua, the 14th chapter, verse 10 and 11. We're going to be reading verses 10 and 11 now. And look at Caleb. Listen to what he says. Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses. So he's giving credit to God, right? That's key. He has kept me alive while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So I am here today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Man, 85 years old. Caleb is awesome. Most people are 85. I want a recliner and a remote, right? But not Caleb. Not Caleb. He still has fight in him. He still has purpose in him. He still, and he gives the credit to God. And this is a story not just for the elderly. This is not just for the elderly. Believe it or not, listen to this. This is a great example of no matter your age, no matter your circumstance, no matter your ability, no matter, you still are useful for God. You still have a purpose for God. You're not useless. Now, the world sometimes tries to put people and say they're no longer useful. That's false. And I don't care how young you are, whether you're 9 years of age and you gave your life to Christ, or you're 99 and you gave your life to Christ, you have a purpose. We got to stop minimizing the young people and their capabilities. You know what we say sometimes? We say, oh, they're the church of the future. No, you're not. You're not. You're the church of today. And you could do great things for God. And I know it. And I believe it. And I teach the college students. They're amazing, the college students. Very capable. We have to stop minimizing what we believe God can do through people, despite their situation. Despite disabilities, despite all of this, we have to understand, if you are breathing, God has a mission for you. Do you understand that? I hope you do. I really, truly do hope you believe that. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 10, look what it says. Paul, look what Paul, he reminds us here. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, your calling, brothers and sisters, is not accidental. It's intentional. You were made on purpose for a purpose. Do you understand that? You were made on purpose for a purpose to serve God. And we are His handiwork. I love that Greek word, that handiwork, a custom creation. Do you see yourself as a custom creation? Made in advance? Oh, that's special. How special. Custom creation. And I have a purpose, and you have a purpose. And I hope no one ever, or you ever, minimize your purpose. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care about your past. God has a purpose for you. He truly does. Think about that. And I want to tell you, those who, you know, we in America, one of the things, you know, we love retirement. Like we work right? We get our portfolio together. All we do is our whole life strive for retirement. Let me say this to you. God isn't keeping you alive for comfort. He's keeping you alive for calling. Did you hear that? If you are alive, God is keeping you. He isn't keeping you alive for comfort. He's keeping you alive for calling. And we really need to understand that, brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to understand that. We do not retire from God's service, no matter the age. Yeah, maybe you can't fight battles like Caleb, but you can call someone. You can pray. You can send a card. You can talk. You can mentor. Let's realize that we still have a purpose. If we are heirs, we have a purpose, right? A purpose. And purpose isn't about your season. It's about your Savior. Please remember that, brothers and sisters. And there's no such thing as part-time Christians. There's no such thing as that. Wholehearted. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. Not part-time. All right? Two people that really kind of show this, I want to share. Evelyn Granny Brand and Nick Voichichi. Yes, that's his name. Maybe I mispronounced it. So let me tell you, these individuals are amazing, right? So Evelyn, in the 1900s, she was a missionary. She went when she was very young, and she was from a rich family. But she gave up all her riches to go to South India, to what they called the Mountains of Death, because they were so dangerous, the Mountains of Death. And she went there to share God's word. And she did it throughout her whole life. And even when she got to her 70s and 80s, she was still traveling, sharing God's word to the population there. And she broke a lot of bones, and she got a lot of rare diseases. And the doctors literally told her, you need to retire. And I want to read a quote from her. When the doctors were saying, you know, you're too old, you know, she was already in her, she was 80, and she still wanted to serve the Lord. And this is what she told the doctors. She said, if I can crawl, I will crawl, but I will never stop serving the Lord. She died at 95 years of age over there serving the Lord. She was on her deathbed. She had people come to her. When she couldn't travel anymore, she had people coming to her so she could still share God's word. What an amazing woman. What an amazing woman. And Nick, some of you already know who this individual is. He's a global evangelist, right? He was born with no arms and no legs. And according to some of the research, they said that he led about 1.8 million people to Christ. Did you hear that? 1.8 million people to Christ. I can't even claim 1% of that. Right? And listen to what he said. I'm quoting him. This is what Nick said. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then he can use anybody. Which means you. You have purpose, brothers and sisters. Like Evelyn and Nick and Caleb, right? Caleb's still there, stepping into it. Don't count me out yet, God. Don't count me out. I still got something I can give to the church that I can give to you, Lord. Don't count me out. So, you have purpose, brothers and sisters, right? Here's the challenge. So, what's keeping you from stepping into the purpose God already prepared for you? Remember, He prepared already in advance for you, work to be done. So, what's keeping you from stepping into that? And here's the takeaway. Wholehearted people don't live for ease, they live for purpose. It's not about comfort, it's about service, calling. Amen? Yeah. All right. And once we find our purpose, once we understand that, guess what happens? Then as heirs, we can claim the inheritance. That's the third truth about being heirs. We have an inheritance, and it's an epic inheritance. So let's read, right? Caleb, watch what he says. Go back to Joshua, the 14th chapter. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13. And look at what Caleb, how he says this. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites, those are giants, were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, who does he give credit to? The Lord. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. His promise, right? Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Brothers and sisters, at 85 years of old, Caleb steps forward and says, give me this hill country. That's not arrogance. That's confidence in the Lord. That's what that is. He is confident that God is going to give him what he promised him 45 years ago. Are you confident like that? I hope you are, because God keeps his promises. That's a fact. And notice, Caleb didn't say, if it's convenient. No, he says, if the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. And let me tell you, that's the heart that we need to have, brothers and sisters. Because the reality is, there's an inheritance for you, a great inheritance, an awesome inheritance. But guess what? You have to be active in it. You have to be active in it. God is giving you promises. He's giving you some really great things. Things like peace and victory over sin, spiritual fruit, eternal life, all of that, and many, many more. But we have to actively live in obedience and faith and perseverance, right? For instance, if you want a good marriage, you have to follow the principles that God shows in scriptures. You have to actively participate, right? If you want fruit of the Spirit, the scripture says you got to walk by the Spirit. You got to live by the Spirit. You got to actively participate. And sometimes we just want to sit on the sidelines. God, give. You have to participate in the inheritance. You got to claim it. You got to fight for it. You got to want it. So let's look at James, the second chapter, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It has to accompany action. You see, God's promises are guaranteed. They are. But you still have to require, your faith still has to move you to obtain it. It has to move you to obtain it. So look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 12. And again, remember, the promises of God are real. That's God's part, the promises, right? But our part is the pursuing it. We have to live Christian lives wholeheartedly. So look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 12. It says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. How did they inherit it? They had to be faithful and patient. They can't be lazy. The scripture's telling you that. You know, Caleb got the land, but you know what? He had to fight giants. He still had something to do. He had to move in there to claim it. It's kind of like I think this is a beautiful scene, right? It's kind of like when a parent's teaching a child, God is like this, a child how to walk, right? You got to let that child get up and do it on their own. You got to let go. There's got to be a point where you got to let go. But letting go, you know that that child, they're gonna stumble, they're going to wobble, they're going to fall, they might even hurt themselves a little, right? But you're there encouraging. You're the good parent, right? You're there, say, well, you could do this, yeah, and you're cheering them on. You can do this, that's okay, all right, you hurt yourself, it's okay, get back up, because you know you just can't carry them everywhere. They need to develop. And once they do, it's amazing. They're walking, they're running, and then you wish they couldn't. But that's God. That's what God does. Your heavenly Father, He's cheering you on. When you fall, He says, get up. Get up. You could do this. I believe in you. Here's my hand. Take my hand. That's right. You're going to do this. You're going to overcome this. Come, get your inheritance. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I know your giants might be illness. It might be a loss of a job. It might be broken relationships. I don't know. You're going through something in your life. We all are. You're going through something. But God is saying, don't give up. I have an inheritance for you, and it's beautiful. It's going to be worth the climb up that hill. It's going to be worth it. Don't give up. Fight the battles. Your reward is there. I promised you. And I am true and trustworthy. And this is what God is telling you. Again, I don't know what you're going through, but do not. I'm sure there's somebody here thinking, oh, I want to give up in life. Don't. Don't. God loves you. He's cheering you on. He's there. He's holding your hand. He's lifting you up. Brothers and sisters, our greatest reward is coming. We may struggle and fight battles here, but ultimately there's going to be a day where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more aging, no more worries. A day where we're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And I know His arms are going to be outstretched. He's going to say, my good and faithful servant, well done. Come. Come to your master's joy and glory. That's what's waiting for us, brothers and sisters. We have an amazing inheritance. Don't give up. Don't give up. Challenge. What promises have you stopped pursuing because the hill looked too steep? Here's my takeaway, brothers and sisters. You can't claim what you're not willing to climb. You can't claim what you're not willing to climb. And bold heirs, we never stop climbing. We never stop fighting. We never do. All right, bold heirs, what's my conclusion? I have a conclusion for you. You know, Caleb's inheritance, the hill country, he named it, once they captured it, he named it Hebron. They named it Hebron. Do you know what Hebron means? Fellowship. Isn't that interesting? Because ultimately, our greatest inheritance is fellowship with God and Jesus and with one another. Right? Our greatest inheritance is not, yes, Scripture says that Jesus is preparing mansions for us, but it's not the mansions that's the greatest part of the inheritance. It's opening up that door and me seeing all of you there. That is the greatest part of our inheritance. It's reunion with you and those who are already passed. So we have a tribute for you today. Some of you sent in your pictures of your loved ones who passed already. And we want you to think about this, but while you're watching this video, I want you to really remember this. This is not the end. This is not the end. Because if you are a bold heir, there is reunion with these individuals and with God.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with Him for all eternity. songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears.
There will be a day for him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. We join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign.
So
let it be today.
We
shout the hymn
with angels and the saints.
With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
It keeps getting to me. I've seen the video a couple of times. Oh, Lord, Lord, God is good. Amen. God is good. So what do I leave you with? You know, I always have some points to leave you with. We are bold heirs who follow wholeheartedly, live with purpose, and claim the inheritance. Let's say that together, brothers and sisters. We are bold heirs who follow wholeheartedly, live with purpose, and claim the inheritance. Amen. We are bold heirs. Remember that, brothers and sisters. So live with purpose, live wholeheartedly, and claim the inheritance that God has promised each and every one of us. Amen. Remember, you're not wanderers, you're bold heirs. So live it. Thank you for your good attention. God bless you.